Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, I'm going to be talking with Christopher Boozy. You'll notice that there's no music playing, and that's because I just having a hard time here. I didn't write this all out beforehand. I'm not exactly sure how this intro is going to go. It's slightly different than what you're used to, but basically, I have a conversation with Christopher Boozy. I'm real in this. I'm struggling along with so many other people. I did the best I could. I didn't really cry. I managed to hold it together. I think we had a good constructive conversation, and I just appreciate every one of my listeners. Don't forget that every Tuesday I have a What's Up with just me for patrons only, kind of like my online diary. Go to patreon.com/startmeup. Take a look at the tiers. The $5 tier gets you into What's Up. I also have a tier for ad-free. Take a look at it. Now please enjoy my conversation with Christopher Boozy. Welcome back, Christopher.
Hey, Kimberly. Thank you for having me back. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, this is the first show I'm doing. I did a patrons-only show where I basically broke down and cried and, you know, there's the only thing I'm going to say is there is something else going on in my life that I really can't talk about right now publicly, but it's like we're all suffering through this really unfortunate time in history, and it's hitting us all in different ways. And then on top of that, I have another thing that feels extremely devastating to me, and I can't really talk about it right now. So I don't know how I'm, you know, just thinking about it makes me want to cry. So I can pretty much maintain if I don't talk about that, so I'm not going to talk about that. But I want to just make sure everybody understands that I am struggling, and I know I'm not alone. And this conversation is going to be, you know, a little bit about the election, a little bit about our thoughts about how we move forward and where we find our power. And so I guess, you know, the first question that I have for you, and this is, you know, you and I were both basically under the impression that Kamala Harris was going to win. And yes, clearly she didn't. And it, you know, I don't know where you are, but I don't give a shit about what people think of what I said. You know, I mean, I don't feel bad for being optimistic, in other words. So I just, you know, I want to ask you where you are with this, how there's this group of people who are saying the election was stolen. And then there's another group of people, and I'm not talking about MAGAs, I'm just talking about, you know, who we would consider people we trust, who are saying this was absolutely not stolen and it's very conspiratorial. What I have to say about it, and then I'll ask you, is we know that Russians, Republicans have been cheating. They use every mechanism they have. I believe they cheated in 2020. They just didn't succeed. And then we all know that there was Russian interference in 2016. Vladimir Putin made it very clear to us that he helped Trump and he expects payback. And so I just first want to know where you are on the side of, do you believe this election is legit, even if we never figure out anything about it? And then if so, I just want to hear what you just have to say in general about it. I know, okay. It's a
so,
lot.
Yeah, I'm going to need a minute on this. So I'll tell you what, let me go back just a bit, and I promise I'll answer your question, because okay, I think it's important to understand how we got here.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. People have been coming at me, for example, with my forecast, because I did have an optimistic forecast for VP Harris. But I think people don't understand how I got to that. Before, when folks were saying that Biden should step aside, I made numerous posts and, you know, pods warning people not to do this because it would be disastrous. It would be a historic disaster. And I forecasted at that point that if Democrats were to push Biden aside, no matter who they put in place, there would be a red wave, that it would end up being catastrophic. And we did see that happen. However, when Biden stepped aside and he immediately endorsed VP Harris, I did say, well, you know, let's wait and see, you know, what happens. Will people coalesce around her? Let's see what happens. But right now, my thoughts are initially this is going to be a disaster. But then we immediately saw, you know, white guys or white women for VP Harris, white guys, white bros, whatever for VP Harris, all these different Zooms. We started seeing all this money pouring in. It seemed like, you know, authentic enthusiasm, excitement, all this other stuff. We saw the convention. They were coalescing around her, rallying behind her. They came out to convention, and I said, it does seem like it's been a successful reset. Now, what people don't understand, when I forecast elections, I don't use polls. I learned in 2016 that people lie to pollsters. And a lot of these polls with the methodologies and things like that, to be quite frank, they're shit. So I wanted to come up with a methodology, a system, you know, a way of forecasting elections beyond the surface, beyond polls. And I'm saying this, and I'm just taking a moment to get to where you where you're at right now. But I need folks to understand that what I do, for example, so the quick analogy, let's say I call you and I ask you, are you on a weight loss diet? And you're like, yeah, I am actually on a weight loss diet. But you know, I don't know if you're telling the truth or not. But let's say if I had access to your spending, and you're, let's say you're single, you live alone, and I have access to your spending, and I see you buying Twinkies, I see you buying even the White Castle hamburgers and all the things, right, that would indicate that you're not, you know, on a weight loss diet, then I can reasonably assume that you're not. Well, that's kind of what I do when I forecast elections. I look beyond the surface. One, is there actual enthusiasm for this candidate? What does that look like? For example, are people donating, you know, small dollar donations on social media? When you filter through the bots, are they talking about this individual? At what scale? You know, when we're talking about on the ground, what's happening on the ground? What are the people canvassing saying? What are they hearing? I mean, there's so many different data points, and that's just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. So what I'm looking at is this thing that's happening, is it legit? So when we saw all these people coming out and supporting VP Harris, when we saw that these donations were pouring in, these Republicans coming out and saying that they're going to vote for VP Harris, these women, you know, I said, okay, this seems like it's genuine. It seems like it's a successful reset. Now I need to start to find out what does this look like going into November. And my data, and not just my data, a lot of other folks were also saying the same thing.
Yeah, lots of them.
That not only she was going to win, but it was going to be pretty much a landslide. Now, I wasn't using the L word in the beginning. I didn't actually use the L word towards the end, maybe a few days before the election. One of the reasons why, because it looked as if there was starting to be this late breaking shift with undecided voters, and also you had independents. And, you know, I was seeing a lot of chatter on social media. Then you had the Seltzer poll come out, which, once again, I don't base my forecasts on polls, but a lot of what her poll had, also my data backed up, and vice versa. And then there was also that company, Vantage Data House, that is completely separate from me, who are also forecasting that she was going to win all of the swing states, and they even included Florida. And as you know, I've been saying Florida was in play. So I was comfortable going into Election Day with my forecast that she was not, that she was going to win and that she was not going to be a victim of the Bradley effect or anything like that. Election day comes and the first set of votes start coming in from Florida. And I'm looking at the counties and, I, you know, I'm prepared that if Florida does not flip, that's fine. I'll live with that. You know, I'll live with it. But I needed to pay attention to the counties because I told everyone Florida is going to be your litmus test for the rest of the country, whether she wins Florida or not. If Donald Trump is running away with it in Florida and we start looking at the counties and it's not looking good, it's not going to be good for the rest of the country. Yeah. And sure enough, that did hold true.
Right.
As these votes started coming in, I started to realize that she's in trouble. And once I started seeing North Carolina, Georgia, I became very concerned. Now, the question is, was it rigged or, you know, what happened? How is it that she had all this enthusiasm, all these donations, all of this stuff that we saw and she lost? And it's really simple. No, I don't think it was a rigged election. What folks are seeming not to be able to grasp with is the original sin. The original sin was pushing Biden out. My original forecast was that was going to be disastrous. What folks can't seem to understand, it was two, and you know, we keep it real here, right? It was two white men, right? Two old white men, but two white men. And people who did not want to support Donald Trump had an option of supporting another white man. We had a black woman, a very capable black woman, a black woman that I voted for, but nonetheless, a black woman. And unfortunately, there's still people in this country that do not want to vote for a woman. And definitely does not want to vote for a black woman. When you look at the data that everyone has access to, North Carolina being a very good example, you see folks voting for the Democrats down ballot. You see the ticket splitting where they wanted to support Democrats but did not want to support her. And we saw this throughout the country, and it does explain exactly what happened, that they did not want to vote for her at the top of the ticket, but would support Democrats and things like that. Then to add insult to injury, we had a lot of Democrats who did not come out and vote this cycle. And we saw something similar happen with Hillary Clinton. I do not believe it happened in way too many states for it to have been some coordinated effort. I have not seen anything credible to suggest otherwise. Now, if something comes out and it is credible, I'll be the first to say, hey, this does not look good. Now, there are people that are listening right now, and they're probably saying, well, you got it wrong. Right. Why should we listen to you? And that's a fair question. But did I really get it wrong? And this is what I've been pushing back. Did I really get it wrong, though? Because my initial gut,
I was with you. Yeah, my initial gut was what yours was.
Right. And the data backed it up. And when you look at my posts, I even laid out the maps and what states you will lose. It almost looks almost exactly like what we've seen, minus I think it was like two states or state or so. Pretty much all the states that I said she was going to lose, she lost. And not her specifically, whatever candidate they would have replaced Biden with, because we didn't know at the time it was going to be her. And then also the Senate. I said that they will lose the House, they will lose the Senate, they will lose the White House. This is what happened. So you cannot switch out a candidate, no matter who the candidate is, 4 months before an election. It was always a terrible idea. But the folks that were pushing the Biden step aside thing, they don't want to take responsibility for it. So they're blaming everyone else. They're pointing fingers or whatever. But one other thing, and I think it's really important for your listeners to understand. I've been hearing, I've been seeing folks also try to blame Latino voters. You know, they're trying to blame some black men and all that other stuff. Please stop. The percentage, so folks to understand, you have a slice of a pie, right? And, you know, each group is taking up a slice of that pie. And, you know, there's subgroups and things of that nature. But, you know, each demographic, whatever, has their slice of the pie. And VP Harris did extremely well with black women. She did well with Black men. She did well with his, you know, Latino women. However, she did not do that well with Latino men, and she did not do well with white men and white women. What people are just seeming not to want to accept, unfortunately, and I did point this out on social media, white women made up the largest group in terms of the slice of the pie. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at the slice of the pie, right, Black men made up 4% of the slice of the pie. Black women made up 6% of the slice of the pie. So, you know, depending on which exit poll you look at, you know, Black men were like 77, 74, 75, once again, depending on the poll, voted for VP Harris. And 20-something, depending, once again, on which poll you're looking at, voted for Trump. And Black women, it was like 89, 90, 90-something percent, once again, going towards VP Harris, and like 9-ish, 8-ish percent going towards Trump. But Black men, only 4% of the pie. Black women, only 6% of the pie. Mm-hmm. Latino men, only 4% of the pie. Latino women, 5% of the pie. Depending on which expo you're looking at, anywhere from 38 to 40% white women made up the vast majority of the pie, only followed by white men, depending, once again, 35 to 36, 37, whatever, white men. So white women actually overperformed because they do not make up 38 or 39% of the population. They overwhelmingly voted for Trump with 53. Once again, depending on which poll you're looking at, 53, 55%. White men, 60%, a little over. So white men and women had, you know, they were the determining factor in this election. Mm-hmm. That this is a fact. No matter how you spin it, no matter how you try to blame Latinos or Black folks or whatever, white men and women did. Mm-hmm. Determine this election. So lastly, and why I got it wrong and why I think people are not understanding how someone like me and some of the other analysts got it wrong, people lied in this election. The core of my analysis was based on one major thing happening, and that is women, especially white women, voting overwhelmingly for VP Harris this time. You know, I mm-hmm. thought because of the gutting of Roe, right. Because, right, we saw in special elections and things of that nature and these ballot initiatives, women coming out in droves to vote for, you know, reproductive rights, and that was going to hold true this cycle.
Yeah.
That white women, like I said, especially white women, because we already knew how white men were going to go. We knew it, that they were going to vote overwhelmingly for Trump. But we thought that there was going to be this shift mm-hmm. with women, that there was going to be this huge gender gap this cycle. It sort of was there, but it didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen. That gender gap, unfortunately, was against VP Harris. Then I had the assumption, and this did not hold true, two more assumptions, actually, that we were going to have high turnout for Democrats mm-hmm. because it was going to be such a historic election. That did not happen.
Yeah.
We did not have the turnout that we were expecting at all. And then we expected a fair number of Republicans to vote for VP Harris and not Donald Trump, that they were going to cross over. That did not happen. So the assumptions that were made that I thought that were going to happen, that were, like I said, the basis of my forecast, did not happen. So that's how I got it wrong. That's how many other analysts got it wrong. So, you know, when folks are saying, oh, how can you be so off? They have to understand that a lot of people lied this election.
Yeah.
A lot of people said they were going to do something and they did not do. Now, one more thing I want to just add, and I know I've been talking quite a bit here. You know, folks are trying to act like this is a mandated election, that Donald Trump, there's right. this landslide, and he, you know, so I want folks to understand that, yes, electorally, it does look like a landslide when you look at it, electorally. But when you look at, you know, each individual state, you know, these swing states and things like that, like Arizona, for example, okay, let's not use Arizona because that one was that was kind of handedly there when, but like Nevada, Wisconsin, because I'm looking right now as I'm talking to you, Michigan, mm-hmm. a lot of these wins that he got, these were he barely won, mm-hmm. right? So electorally, right. he did well,
right?
But by right, when you look at it, each individual state, he just barely won. So I said that to say this. When you look at the total number of votes that he's received, the popular vote, he really did not expand on his popular vote.
Yeah.
He really, you know, if people are acting like he had this huge coalition of folks, that's not what happened. And once again, your listeners can go back and just look at the data. That's not what happened. What ended up happening was Democrats did not show up. So I understand the argument is, well, the reason why this is happening because someone rigged the election. There's just no way that she had all this support, you know, these big rallies, all this stuff, and they just didn't show up. Yeah. And I'll just say Bernie Sanders. I will say Bernie Sanders is a very good example of a candidate who had all of that. And I don't want to hear people say, well, the primaries were rigged, because then we can go back to the 2020 cycle. Once mm-hmm. again, Bernie Sanders, he raised a lot of money. He had huge crowds. He could not make it out of the primaries. Mm-hmm. You can't just look at crown sizes and donations mm-hmm. and just think that's it. And that because you got that there's a lot more. I mean, that's really and truly what happened in terms of my analysis, and that's what I believe what happened with the election. One thing I just want to add, and let's just move on because I know you have some other questions. You know, I totally get why people, you know, they're trying to come up with other explanations for what we're seeing, you know, and I totally can get why people are saying, you know, this was rigged because of who was involved. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. It's Trump, it's Republicans, you know, Elon Musk. If it was one or two states, I would say, okay. We even saw in blue states yeah. where, right, like New York, for example, this effect happened where it's just, and it is depressing, but we had Democrats voting for Trump. Or Democrats just not voting for her and either, you know, putting somebody else's name in there or just whatever. This was not just a Republican thing. We saw the Democrats who did vote. We did see a substantial number of them not support VP Harris. And it's depressing. So this is why I'm not saying it's impossible, but it would be extremely difficult. It would take a lot of resources, a lot of manpower to be able to rig an election in damn near every state. It's just because of the way we vote here in the United States. Folks got to understand that, you know, in one state, you may have, you know, X number of counties in each county using different voting machines. And I've heard people, you know, float the idea of the tabulation machines and things mm-hmm. of that nature. Well, maybe the hack happened with the tabulation machines, but also remember that you're dealing with multiple states with multiple different forms of tabulation machines and things of that nature. We did see this effect happen in almost every single state. So I don't think it was rigged. I think the simple answer is folks lied about the support that they were giving her. White women did not vote in the way that we expected, and Democrats did not turn out the way we thought they were going to turn out.
Yeah. Okay, we have to take a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly, the host of the show you're listening to right now. A gentle reminder, check out patreon.com/startmeup. You can see all different ways to support the show. Just take a look at the tiers. Thank you in advance. Okay, I'm going to switch over because I want to talk about this. I'm going through this crossroads right now. I'm like at a crossroads. I've been using my big mouth ever since basically 2012 as a blogger. I've been a podcaster. I've been a social media warrior, all that stuff. And I'm not going to say that I don't think that my efforts or the efforts of people who do what I do, and I'm not talking about bloggers or anything. I'm just like everyday people who are putting it out there on social media. Here's truth. Let's follow the truth. It wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And I do remember in 2014, I was, you know, Barack Obama was president. It was the midterm elections for his second term. And I was fully under the belief that we were going to do this. Democrats were going to do this. And then it turned out to be the lowest voter turnout in 80 years. And while there was obviously gerrymandering, there was voter suppression, there was all that stuff in play, which was also in play in this election. There was, like you said, the way people didn't show up, people didn't vote their best interest or whatever it was. And I remember feeling really devastated. And it was a hard pill to swallow. But at that point, we still had President Barack Obama, and we were not in the situation we're in now. Now we're in a completely different situation. And so I see people on social media, and there's like one crowd that is kind of just taking delight in the fact that, you know, the MAGA voters are going to now feel the pain that they've inflicted. And then I'm on the kind of, I can't do that. And I'm not able to delight in the pain of MAGAs, I think they deserve to face what they're doing, but we're all part of it. It's not just MAGAs feeling that pain. So that's why I can't take delight. And there was, you know, somebody on social media who basically, I expressed that, and it was a woman, and she said, I don't give a fuck. And, you know, you're coming from privilege. And this was a Black woman. And I did not argue with her. I'm not going to argue with people. I'm not going to be sarcastic or anything like that, because I understand that she's afraid. I'm afraid. Maybe she's pissed. Whatever it is she's feeling, I recognize it. I'm not going to argue with her. But it's not that I don't feel that it's coming from a place of privilege. I feel it's just coming from a place of, you know, we've had these online, I don't even know what way. There's this way that Democrats behave, or a way that liberals, or a way that progressives, whatever, behave online. And we smack each other down, and we're sarcastic with each other, and we have our sarcastic memes, and we have all this stuff, and it's not going away. Obviously, I see it. I'm just unable. At this point, I am unable to participate in it. I mean, the reason I became aware of you was you were, you know, batting down Ryan Knight in a sarcastic way. And I fucking loved it. I was laughing. I was right there with you. And I'm not trying to tell anyone else how to behave. All I'm just doing is expressing what's coming from me. And you know, moving forward, I don't know where this show goes, because I can't do the kind of show that I was doing before. And part of the reason is because I don't feel that it made enough of a difference. And it's not to take away from what you and I have done, or what Bob, or what, you know, people that we like, who are maybe not, you know, maybe they just have a regular job, but they have a good, you know, strong voice on Twitter, or any voice on Twitter, and we agree with them. I'm not saying that's all for nothing. It's extremely important that we always work to save or preserve or whatever a democracy. But for me, it's the way I'm going to go about it. It's going to have to change, because I can no longer be authentic and feel that I'm making any kind of real difference. I have to find a new way to make a difference. And I don't really know what that looks like right now. And I didn't even really intend on saying this, but it's just pouring out of me. And I'm in this place right now where I don't know what's happening. You know, I don't know anything what's happening. And I have to kind of, if I'm going to be out there and putting my voice out there, it literally has to come from an authentic place. I can't pretend. And so with that said, I want to ask you, where do you see us going from here? Where's the hope? Because for me, and I'm going to be honest, I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of hope. And I'm really scared on many levels about, you know, talking to you now has actually kind of helped. But ever since November 5th, my stomach has churned. And it's I can't eat, which is a fucking first for me. Some people turn to food, and I kind of wondered if I was ever in a really bad way, where do I go? Okay, well, my stomach hurts and I can't eat. And my mom made a joke, well, maybe you'll finally lose that last 10 pounds that you've been bitching about. Maybe I will. I don't know. But I can't eat. I have a hard time feeling hopeful. I have a hard time feeling like this is going to be any kind of country that can be saved. So I want to know what you think.
Well, Kimberly, I hear the pain in your voice, and you know, and I can tell this has been a difficult time for you, and it's been a difficult time for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And you know, Black women, especially Black women, they're hurt. They're yes. angry right now.
Yeah.
Because as I posted on social media, you know, we sent one of our best and one of our brightest. Yeah. And it felt like a slap in the face how folks who were claiming to be allies or co-conspirators rejected her. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing if, you know, Republicans rejecting her, but people right. within the party, you know, people who claim to be Democrats did not vote for her. And it's been hurtful
yeah.
For Black men and women. But to your question, you know, how do we move forward? I don't agree with your assessment that, you know, kind of like this was just, and you didn't say explicit, but, you know, this was all for nothing, because you don't know how many people that you affected over, you know, X number of years that made them decide, you know what, you know, I'm going to vote this way. And no, this actually does make sense. That's because she did not win does not mean that you have not affected things. You know, even if 1,000 people changed their votes or decided they were going to go one way, or, you know, changed their vote and they're, you know, they were going to go one way before and decided to go this way because of things that you said, that's 1,000, you know, votes. That's 1,000 people, and that's something.
Yeah.
What I am not agreeing with, and this is I'm seeing across the board, is people just giving up. People just saying, you know, I'm going to focus on myself now. I'm going to focus on this, that, and the third. And that is what they want. They want to get people to throw their hands up and say, you know what, I give up. They don't want people to resist. They don't want people to push back. They don't want people to fight. They don't want people to have podcasts talking about this. They want people to shut the hell up and go away. And that is the last thing we need to do. We need more people doing podcasts. We need more people being loud. We need more people pushing back. And not just pushing back on them, also pushing back folks within the Democratic Party. Because I'm going to say this, and it's not going to be popular, but I'm going to say this. You have Nancy Pelosi out here pointing the finger at this person, that person, saying that Biden should have stepped aside sooner and all this other. No, what should have happened was Biden should have stayed his ass right where he was at. Democrats should have rallied behind him. He had one bad moment in a debate, and there were Democrats that were ready to throw him under the bus mm-hmm. for that. Whereas he had an opponent who was a convicted felon who was responsible for January 6th and a whole slew of other things, and Republicans rallied behind him. It was insane then talking about it. Now it's still insane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get it. Like, I get we went with VP Harris. It didn't turn out well, and people are hurting. But the other option is just sitting back and letting it get worse. And I for one, don't want to see that. So I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue the fight. I'm going to continue to do what I do to try my best to hopefully in 2022, I mean, I said 2022, excuse me, 2026, Lord, in 2026, to be able to hopefully start to gain back some seats, hopefully, you know, hopefully be able this time to take the House, depending on the craziness that happens. But, you know, let's not try to pretend here in terms of, you know, what's going to be happening. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
And the people that voted for him, you know, there are just some people who really, they just don't care what happens to other people, you know, as long as they can get their way. And there are going to be people that are going to be deported. There are going to be people that are going to face financial hardships. We already heard some of his appointments in terms of people like he, you know, Matt Gaetz, for example, Attorney General. Oh, this is going to be insane. Mm-hmm. This is going to be worse than the first
time. Yes, it will.
Time. Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of those folks that believe sometimes a country, unfortunately, has to go through some things before people learn. We've seen this time and time again in Europe and, you know, different countries and things
Brexit.
Like that.
There's Brexit.
And America... say again, I'm sorry.
There's Brexit, you know.
Oh yes, a very good example, actually. Yeah. Brexit is a very good example. Just because, you know, the majority of folks support something does not always mean it's a good idea. And Brexit is a very, very, very good example of that. And they are regretting it. America will regret putting Donald Trump back in office for a second term. They're absolutely going to regret it. Actually, there are folks that are regretting it right now. You have people in Michigan, Muslim folks, who are not happy with the rhetoric that has come out already with Marco Rubio and Mike Huckabee. But they were warned about this.
They were,
you know,
yes.
They were pretending as if the Biden administration, is now specifically VP Harris, would be the same thing as the Trump administration. They're just all the same. And it's not true. One group, which is VP Harris and Biden, were actively and are still actively trying to get a ceasefire. Trump and Rubio and Mike Huckabee and those folks don't give a crap about a ceasefire. They're like, bomb them and bomb them back to the Stone Age.
Yeah.
That is the difference. And to pretend that they're the same is just being disingenuous. Mm-hmm. So now, what they ended up doing, the folks who claim that they care about Palestinians, claim that they care about what's happening in there, have just signed their death warrants. Because now, as soon as Trump is sworn in, Netanyahu is going to feel emboldened. He's going to feel like now the handcuffs or whatever, the restraints are off. And he can do whatever he wants. And guess what? He can. And the bombings are going to get more intense. You're going to have more ground insurgents. It's going to be insane. So this is what they voted for. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, I just think people are going to need a few weeks or months off to kind of clear their heads and things like that. But we have to get back into the fight. We just cannot allow them to just do whatever.
I agree. You know, I just want to say, I used to write, you know, political articles and things like that. I've written books and I stopped because I got really burnt out, specifically writing about politics. I did it for a lot of years and it started to become a chore and I didn't enjoy it anymore. So I just put it aside. And, I've always wondered, you know, do I have another book in me? There is a storyline, a fictional storyline that has been swimming in my head for years, but I don't necessarily want to write it because it's very dark. And I don't think I'm going to write it now because of the headspace that I'm in. But it would be about a serial killer. And it would be based on this person that I never met in person, but became aware of back in like 2010. And it's weird because he had written a manuscript and he asked if he could send it to me. And he was kind of flirting with me and I wasn't very interested in him at the time, but okay, you can send me your manuscript or whatever. And so anyway, he turned out to be this real creeper. And so it's like, in my mind, there's this story where he's a serial killer, right? I don't think I can fucking do that right now because I am in a really dark place and it's just not a place for me to go. But this is all to say that I started to write something last night, and I don't know if I'm going to publish it. I posted this on Facebook earlier, but I don't know if I'm going to publish it yet. But I just kind of want to make my listeners aware of, I said I'm at a crossroads and I'm not sure where this podcast is going. It would not necessarily be exactly the same kind of thing where we're just talking about the politics of the day, because usually my podcast is about headlines. You know, what's going on? What do you think is going to happen with Marco Rubio and et cetera? I'm not saying that's not what I'm going to do. I can't do that right now, because right now my focus is a little bit more on how to not so much fight the system, although I do agree with what you say. I agree that we can't just lie down and let them kill us, but fight in a different way. And just to be really brief, for the past 5 years, I have kind of been on this personal, I want to preface this by saying, for anyone who might tune out, don't tune out, just hear me out before you decide to tune me out on this. I've been on a spiritual journey. I don't want to push my spirituality on anybody, because we all have our, whether you have a religion or you're an atheist, I acknowledge that. I respect that. I'm not telling anyone how to feel. But what I believe, and I truly believe, is there is, and I'm going to refer to it as the Force, because I think everybody can grasp what that means, right? From Star Wars. I'm not a Star Wars nerd, but I believe that we all are the Force. We have human things like, pity and self-pity and revenge and fear. And we know that when we rely only on those kind of real human animal traits, it doesn't put us in a good place. It's never good. It's not good to make decisions based in fear. And as you're saying, a lot of people want to fold into themselves, and that's fear. So that's not a progressive, helpful way to be. And for me, I feel like I've been on this journey and I've learned some things, and I can relay them not in a religious or spiritual way, but in a practical way through recognizing the force that is within us. And it really comes down to individual force, because I do know that, you and me and Bob and, all the people that I know, Cliff Schechter, Stephanie Miller, Allison Gill, whoever it is, I think we've all made, had some kind of influence. I've been literally influenced by people who have very small accounts, and maybe they say something and I don't know who they are, but it helps to change my perspective. And I feel like for me in my journey here, it's like, I don't know that I can be part of that whole world anymore in the same way. I want to come at it with more of an individualistic approach and finding your own power, because I'm doing that. I'm finding my own power. And what's funny is a long time ago in the 90s, I was with someone and I was very young, and it was a very stressful, traumatic kind of experience. And I called up my girlfriend because he had said a few things to me that I didn't know how to deal with, this guy that I was dating. And my girlfriend kept saying to me, "Remember your power, remember your power." And I didn't know what she was talking about. I didn't know. And I feel like these last 5 years, I think I finally got a grasp. It's the force. It is the force that is who we are, and that when we recognize that, we can work together, and not everybody's going to be that social media warrior, and not everybody's going to be able to have the sense of humor about it, but we all have something within us. It's the fight to what's right. And so anyway, that's just my, soapbox thing about where I see myself right now. And I really don't want to take on this idea that I think I'm some big leader, or I don't want to put that out there. I feel like I'm part of an effort that requires all of us, and I can only do my part. It's like we're all a mosaic, and each of us has a stone to place. And so I'm going to focus on that stone, and that stone might inspire or help someone else who's just as fearful as I feel right now. And, you know, I mean, I recognize that I'm a white woman, and that because I'm a white woman, I have a certain amount of privilege. But then on the other end of that, I am a woman. And so just because I am a white woman doesn't mean I feel safe now. You know, I mean, I fucking bought pepper spray. I've never had pepper spray. And it's just like I as a woman walking around in this country right now, I don't feel like I did. I just don't feel like I did. I don't feel as safe as I felt before. I don't know what to expect. I see sore winners out there. I don't know what to think of them. I worry for other women. I worry for the black. I mean, I live in a primarily black area. And I, you know, I see a lot. And it's not just black people, because I see Muslim. I see Latino. I see all these people from, it's very diverse where I live. And, you know, as I go out and I walk around and I go to the grocery store, whatever, I look at all these people and I'm kind of like between wanting to apologize for how awful everything is, even though I recognize it's not my fault, but it's just, I feel apologetic to everyone. And then, on the other hand, when I see white women, I'm like, did you vote for him? And I live in a blue state where I know a lot of people voted for her, but I don't know who, and I don't know how to feel about it. And so, you know, I'm so lost right now, and I'm not in that same, I think I'll get back to feeling stronger, but right now I'm just, and the last thing I'm going to say is I really don't want to come across as the person who needs you or anybody else to make me feel better. This, you know, I'm not the person who's relying on everyone else to take care of poor me. I'm trying to take care of me so that I can be stronger for everybody. And this genuinely feels like a death to me. It feels extremely traumatic, and I've never experienced anything like this. I don't think we have. And I mean, we kind of did in 2016, but as you said, it's going to be worse. And we all fucking knew it. We all knew it was going to be worse. And I can't fucking believe that white women did this. I can't believe it, but I guess I can. And as you said, sometimes it just takes shit to fall apart before we get a real clear sense of how to put it back together. Okay, so that's my soapboxy little rant. I do want to ask you, moving forward, I do not trust and I cannot watch corporate fucking media. So I want to know, who are you trusting when you're getting your information? Who are you listening to?
Well, right now, you know, look, I'm looking at Roland Martin. You know, I'm listening to folks like Lori Favors, God, Karen Hunter, Newswise, NPR, still AP. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to stay away from the CNN, the CNNs of the world, the MSNBCs. Mm-hmm. Obviously Fox News.
Right.
So it really just depends. And I also understand why people are just like, no more. And apparently both CNN and MSNBC have had double digit decline in their viewership since Trump took office. Since he's won, right. You know, since he's become president-elect, he has not taken office yet, and who knows? But yeah, since he's been president-elect, their viewership has dropped by double digits. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll see when he actually does take office.
Mm-hmm.
Does that continue to happen, or are people going to start to tune in again? Because they want to look at the chaos, the, you know, the train wreck. We will see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am staying away from mainstream media because I believe they were complicit.
Yes.
In this.
They helped cause it. I mean, I think the idea that they here. Let me find. This is so true. I'm gonna Rachel Bitticoffer. She's pretty freaking dark right now, but she posted on Twitter, which everybody's leaving. We'll talk about that in a second. The Beltway NYC pundit class spent all week last week talking about how Democrats left the working class behind, in quotes, after delivering them historic policies like the ACA. And this week, ours have spent all week talking about how they're cutting food stamps and Medicaid. So, I mean, that's exactly the point. They did not focus on, they sane-washed Donald Trump. They wanted ratings. And, you know, I mean, there were certain people, whether it's Joy Reid or Jen Psaki or Rachel Maddow or, you know, and Lawrence O'Donnell has always been my favorite. If I were going to watch any corporate news, it would be Lawrence, although I can't even stomach it at this point. But, you know, the complicit, I think they were kind of aiding and abetting because they are part of the problem. And whether mm-hmm. it's because the, you know, powers that be donated to Donald Trump or, you know, and they had their own agendas or they wanted ratings or whatever the fucking reason, they fucked us over and I don't trust them. And I, you know, I mean, we have to rely on someone. And, I, you know, I will say that Seth, I've never really followed closely Seth Abramson before, but he's over on Blue Sky and he put together a starter pack and I put it on my Facebook page of, you know, people that he's following. Some of them on there are like, I'm not going to follow Politico. And Axios is a sister site of Politico, not following them. I'm not going to, you know, listen to the NY. I know that there's good writers in the New York Times and the Washington Post, but I'm not going to give them my follow. I'm not certainly going to buy a subscription. But like you said, there's certain, you know, he made this list of, papers, both, you know, in the US and abroad that he's trusting. And, you know, he does have NYT on there. He does have Politico, but I followed the ones that I feel that, okay, I'm going to trust at least for now what, you know, this was ProPublica is one of them. And, you know, NPR, AP, they're on there. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to get my news now from different sources and I don't need to hear what Chris Hayes feels about anything. I just don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear, the hand-wringing. I don't need to hear, you know, blame, and the Democrats haven't been paying attention to the working people when actually they have. And, you know, we have this fucking lunatic talking about Arnold Palmer's penis size and giving blowjobs to the microphone, and they don't say anything about that, really. You know, they're not focusing on that. They're just focusing on how Democrats have failed everybody, and it fucking pisses me off so much. Sorry for all my profanity, but it's just, you know, I can't help it right now. I'm just very, very okay. Angry. And, you know, this is actually the first time I've really even expressed the anger. I have been keeping to myself. And my poor boyfriend, that's all I have to say, I feel for him. Because he's dealing with someone right now who has never had this kind of experience. And I'm not necessarily doing well. And I appreciate him. And I'm so grateful he's, you know, putting up with me. It's not easy. I know it's not easy. He's more like you right now. He's got a more of an optimistic stance, and that we have to fight, and, you know, and I just keep trying to convince him that the world is over. So it's like, it's not so much fun, but it, you know, it's just, I think for a little while I'm going to be all over the map with all this shit. Okay. So I want to ask you, I don't know if this is going to be my last question. And then also I, you know, whatever else you want, there's a bigger picture here. There's a resistance. Now we all did what we did in 2016, when he first, you know, entered, or I should say 2017, when he was inaugurated. There was initial resistance, and, you know, we had the march, which I know there's a new march. Nobody's fucking going to the march. I'm not interested in the blue bracelets, but I don't know if you heard about them, but I mean, I don't want to do anything performative. I want to do actionable things. And you mentioned something about, you know, getting a little bit more at calling your senators. I think there is something to the Democrats and sane people in this country need to be a little bit more hands-on in how we fight. So I'm just wanted to ask you, where do we go from here? What can we do?
Okay, so yes, and I've actually been asked this question quite a few times. And right now, you know, I tell people all the time, I don't know right now
what the resistance
looks like moving forward, because you have Democrats that are not, for example, willing to accept the fact that pushing Biden aside, once again, was the original sin, and they're coming up with all these different reasons mm-hmm. for why people didn't show up. And I believe the answer is just really simple. You pushed the guy that had one of the best presidencies of all time aside because of a bad debate and or a bad moment, one moment in a debate, And, you know, like I said, and the media was complicit in that, in pushing that narrative, the cognitive decline narrative and everything, that ended almost instantly once VP Harris came into, you know, she started running. I remember Biden was still the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And you would think that as president of the United States, you would still be concerned about the quote unquote cognitive decline. But anyway, I digress.
Right.
But back to your original question, what the resistance looks like moving forward, I don't know yet. You know, obviously, we're going to have to look at what exactly he is doing and what we can do to counter that. You did hint on one of the questions you wanted to bring up was, you know, people leaving Twitter or X, whatever we're calling it, including myself, people should have left that a long time ago. I launched, I'm going to go on my soapbox just a little bit here because I do think this is important. I launched Spotable in 2023, and quite a few folks have joined Spotable. It is a left-leaning platform. I didn't intend for it to be that way, but it is. It's a left-leaning platform. And because of what we've seen happen over the last week or so, we've had an increase in folks coming and signing up, and this has been happening with Blue Sky as well and Threads. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks have moved over to Blue Sky. And I sit there and I say to myself, well, why exactly are you doing that? If your whole thing is you're not happy with Elon Musk, if you're not happy with what's going on Twitter, what makes you think it's going to be any different at Blue Sky? Because we're talking about the same group of folks, the same investors, the same mindset. You're just setting yourself up for the same thing. Just because it's not one way now does not mean it's not going to be something else later on. Mm-hmm. What made Spotable different and what continues to make Spotable different is we're trying to build a community over there. We're not just trying to grow fast and say, hey, we have 20 million users over here. We're trying to provide an environment where we're keeping the bots off, we're keeping the trolls off, we're keeping the mis and disinformation off. So if people can actually focus on the task at hand or or whatever the issues may be and not have folks coming in and kind of muddying up the waters and all that other stuff that we are seeing on these other platforms. So I get it. People want to go to where, you know, the popular kids are at, but just understand when an influencer tells you to go to platform XYZ, it's because they want their followers to go there so they can continue to be influencers, so mm-hmm. they can influence. So if their followers are going to Spotable, or going to Threads, and going to Blue Sky, and going to Mastodon, and wherever else, they're splintered. Yeah. As an influencer, you don't want that. You want as many people to go over to whatever platform you're using as possible. So that's why a lot of folks are suggesting Blue Sky. I don't agree with it. And I've been critical, not because they're a competitor, mind you. I could not be the owner of Spotable and I would still be saying the same thing. There's nothing about Blue Sky, in my opinion, that's going to be different than Twitter long term. And at some point, it's going to be almost exactly like Twitter. So, you know, people need to realize that and understand that when they're joining these platforms. Don't just join something because this person says it. Join it because this is what you really are interested in doing. But ultimately, just know you're leaving one shitty platform to go to one that would ultimately is going to ultimately end up being.
Well, you know, I want to say, I mean, I kind of had that. I am over there. I work as a social media person. I have to set myself up. I'm putting myself on every website.
Right.
And I agree with what you're saying. And my personal experience has been, you know, I've talked about this before, but I had a Facebook page that was quite thriving. I had the 5,000 friends. I had 16,000 followers. And, you know, to just put this in perspective, you know, I'm not any kind of authority in any way, right? I grew an organic following based on my big mouth and the opinions that I had, and you know, and there it was political, and so I posted for years. I posted political posts, and I was specifically focusing on women's issues and feminism and all of that. And then in 2018, there was the purge of all of the, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, and I believe it was just in... he did this because he didn't want to have to answer to anybody, and he got rid of Republican and liberal political pages. I was part of that. It wasn't just my personal profile, which I had built up and obviously had relationships with people. I had, you know, all the photographs and memes of the work that I had done with the ERA and all this shit. It just all went away in 1 minute. It was funny because I was sitting there doing my thing, and I'm on Facebook, and I was working with this guy writing for Liberals Unite. It was just a blog, and we had a lot of political pages. His name is Sam, and Sam and I, you know, built up Liberals Unite, and then we had a Liberals Unite page. We had, I think it was called the Pragmatic Progressive. We had a feminist page. There was a couple other pages that we had that were pretty big, at like 300,000 people on them, maybe 100 on this one. So maybe a combined, maybe 1 million, 2 million. And I'm sitting there on my computer one day, and I see the Pragmatic Progressive is, you know, has been shut down. I see the alert. And then I see whatever the feminist page we had has been shut down. And I'm like, what the fuck? And the page was just gone. And then a couple minutes later, my page was just gone. And there was an article about it in, I think, the Washington Post and a couple of other, there was, you know, a bunch of our friends, because we had progressive liberal friends who, what we were all doing is actually what the Daily News is doing right now on Facebook, which is sharing articles. So we were friends with this one, you know, friendly with this one blog, and I can't remember the name of it. And then they would share our blogs and we would share their blogs. And it was just this kind of like working together to get the word out. And Facebook called that something about inauthentic something behavior. They put some label on it, and they used that as an example, or an excuse, I should say, to just shut it all down. So this is all to say that, okay, I spent years on a platform building an audience and building, you know, whatever it was that I built, all for it to just fucking evaporate in front of my face. And then, you know, while this was all going on, I had built up my Twitter and I got my blue check. And I was able to utilize that blue check in creating this fit, you know, this podcast and all that. I parlayed it. And then Elon bought it. It's like, and now it's just fucking tanking. And so when I, you know, when Mastodon came out and Post and, you know, I mean, you came out with Spoutable and then Threads, everybody would jump to whatever website and go, oh my God, it's so much better over here now. And it's like, yeah, because it's new. It's just new. Eventually, all the trolls are going to come on. Eventually, you know, yours is the only one. Yours is the only one with the CEO I trust. I don't trust anybody at Blue Sky. I know it's better right now than Twitter is. And like you said, it's probably just a matter of time. That, you know, maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it's 20 years. Who the fuck knows how long it's going to take? But I think that, you know, the idea that oh my God, I see people fall for this every time. Like, oh my God, it's so much better. And it is right now. I know that I can trust you. And just, you know, FYI, I mean, I've my head has been all over the fucking map. I barely have been able to post anywhere. And I'm trying to build for my company, the one that I work for. I'm trying to build up the sites over there because that's what they're doing. So that's my job and I have to do it. But it's like, you know, and I don't want to poo-poo the experience people are having, but I just kind of want to say, hey, we've been down this road before. Everybody thought this one was so much better, and then they jump ship. And everyone thought that one was so much better, and then they jump ship. And it just reminds me too of like, Facebook always likes to change their format. And every single time they would change their format, everybody would bitch and complain, and then they would get used to it, and then they would change their format again. And then they would bitch and complain about the format that they bitched and complained isn't no longer there. I mean, it's like people, it's like a scattered energy, I think, just going to what you're saying, where people don't know where to go. And so I'm just going to say, you know, like you said, Spoutable is completely different because you're not going to allow disinformation to run rampant. And this is we've talked about this for years. You're one of the only CEOs that's going to stand behind that, and you're not going to sell it off to some fucking right winger because they've got the money. So if you're listening to this show, consider Spoutable. Consider going over there and creating an account. It's not exactly the same experience as on some of the other sites. It's got its own unique experience. You have pods, you have, you know, a whole, when did you start it? Was it 2023? Or two.
Yeah, it was 2023. Yeah, it was it you know, soft launch in January 2023. We allowed, you know, obviously everyone else to start coming on in February of 2023. Look, I just want folks to know, and this is one thing I've said so many times, like, you have multiple streaming services. You have your Netflix.
Right.
You have, you know, you have your Hulu, you have AMC, all these different Disney Plus. So if you're someone who is on social media that you are posting content, whatever, you should be on as many platforms as possible. I don't take offense to anyone who is using multiple platforms. However, when people are talking about, well, let's go to Blue Sky to organize and all this other stuff, I'm like, okay, why? And you said 20 years. Oh, it won't be 20 years. You're talking about 20 months tops. Yeah. Because here's the reason why. What folks don't seem to understand, it's not like there's a hidden blue sky, right? There's like this bubble that you're going into. The right wing folks, the trolls, you know, hostile foreign nations like Russia, like Iran, like China, they see you going there. They know, okay, well, now we're going to have a large group of Democrats in this one location here. So let's do what we did on Twitter. We can easily do here. So the chaos will ensue soon, if not, or if it has not started already. That is the reason why, like, I tell folks, yes, Blue Sky has more users than Spoutable, but Spoutable is also suspending a significant number of folks. Like, we don't play around. So our goal is not to grow fast. Our goal is to keep the community free of that nonsense. We're never going to get rid of every single hostile foreign, you know, nation account. We're not going to get rid of every troll, every bot. It's impossible. But what we can do is limit that exposure. So I am very proud of what we built, and we have seen a surge of users. There have been a significant number of users who's come over since Elon in this election. And I suspect we'll continue to see waves of folks come over as, you know, he continues to do crazy things like remove the block button, for example. And I just want one last thing I want to say about Blue Sky, and it's look, once again, it's not hating on Blue Sky. They are a competitor, but I look at, you know, what people, you know, do instead of say. When Blue Sky launched initially, when they launched, there was no block button. There wasn't. They had, you could not block someone. And I want people to think about, how do you launch a social media platform? It was 2023 at the time. In 2023, without a block button. So that was the whole mindset of Blue Sky. It's not what folks think it is, and at some point they're gonna realize that. You know, when Post News had first launched, and it goes back to what you were saying, there were so many people that were like, oh yes, Post News is going to replace Twitter. Post News is going to be the thing. A lot of folks were recommending Post News. It was Post News 24/7. People were talking about how great Post News was until Post News shut down.
Yeah.
And to Post News was like, we ain't going to do this anymore. And they shut down. And that can happen to any platform. Of course, that can happen to Spoutable. That can happen to Blue Sky. But like I try to tell folks, like, we're in it for the long haul. We're in it not for months or not for a couple of years. We're trying to stay here as long as possible. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. I mean, I appreciate your voice in this, and I apologize to anybody. My mouth is so dry these days, and I'm trying to drink, and I have gum in my mouth just to keep it. But in case my mouth sounds dry, I apologize. It just feels, like I said, I am not myself, and I'm not feeling the, you know, sarcasm. I'm not feeling the hardcore fight. I don't feel it. I don't feel like just completely giving up, but at the same time, I don't know who I am right now, and I'm just working on it. So I appreciate everybody. You know, I've been getting messages from people. I've been pretty open about the fact that I am having such a hard time with this. And, you know, people on this podcast, patrons of this podcast, as well as other social media friends across all of the different pages, you know, have understood when I've talked about it. Because I feel like, you know, I've been pretty consistent for like 12 years now, and all of a sudden I'm just not. Everything's changed for me. So there is a period of acclimation. There's a period of figuring out who I am, and I'm going to say collectively who we are. You know, we all are trying to figure out this new way forward. And, you know, I know that what you thought was going to happen, you were not alone. You know, there were Hal Sparks thought this, you know, we were going to win big. It's not that I ever saw Simon Rosenberg or Tom Bonnier saying we're going to go over 300 electoral. They never said it in that way. But the way that they posted it was like, yeah, they were saying they figured that there was going to be a large number of Republicans breaking for her. They absolutely did not take into account that Democrats were not going to vote for her. So whether it was you or Hal Sparks or Tom Bonnier or Simon Rosenberg or any of these people that I have listened to and trusted, and we all were under Wajahat Ali. You know, he I think if he didn't use the term landslide, he absolutely thought it was going to be over 300 electoral votes. So, you know, again, people who I have respect for and I know who are intelligent, and you know, we all just saw what you saw, maybe a little bit of a different version of it. And you saw this version and I was going by people I trusted, and you were one of them. And I completely get what you said about why this election went the way it did. And it's unfortunate, and you know, I can't change it, and I hate fucking thinking about it. But ultimately what I'm trying to say here is, you know, I do want to thank you for, everything that you've done and said, because you are a fighter and you're smart, and a lot of people got this wrong, and it was unfortunate reasons why. And you know, all we can do right now is kind of look forward and figure out what this resistance is going to look like, because it's like you said, it's going to be fucking ugly, it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful, and each person in this country is going to feel it in their own individual way. And so it's going to be people like you. It's going to be people like Stephanie Miller and Allison Gill. And even if you don't agree with all those people, and I'm talking to my listeners, these are the people that are going to lead. You're a leader. Bob's a leader. There needs to be a cohesive thing. And I hope that this time around, we can fucking get it right. I hope we can save this country. I really do, because I love it very much. I don't really love it right now, but I've loved this country. I went and lived in Soviet Russia when I was 12 years old, and that was when I understood what a patriot was. And now, you know, it's very daunting. So with all that said, I want to thank you for keeping me optimistic, because I would have much rather been optimistic and, you know, had that time of optimism than not. I wouldn't trade that for anything. It doesn't help to be depressed beforehand and then lose and then still be depressed. I knew if we lost, I would be depressed, and here I am. Anyway, so again, thank you for your leadership. Thank you for being honest. And thank you just, you know, for what you do and for creating Spoutable. I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for you, and I consider you my friend. And, you know, I'm still going to be turning to you to give me some hope. So there you go. And before I let you go, I usually say, please tell everybody where to find you. Where do we find you?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kimberly, for the kind words. And you can find me on Spoutable at CBOUZ and Zebra Y. So it's CBOUZY over there at Spoutable. I'm not really going to be using the Hellscape anymore, which is, you know, X, Twitter, whatever you're calling it. I'm slowly moving away from there and focusing solely now on Spoutable.
Okay.
I was just using it really for the election and getting the word out, meaning X. But now that the election's over, I'm going to be almost exclusively at Spotable. So
awesome.
You can find me there.
All right. Well, I'm sure we're going to talk again. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.